I don't think you and I could live with ourselves if we had to see what's going on and we're out there doing our thing. But you see, we never have to see that. We've got a convenient little thing called resentments, and we play them over and over and over in our head and transfer all blame to others, and then we can go ahead and live the kind of life we want to live. Now, if you've been doing that for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, and you come to AA, and you do step four, you be just as honest with yourself as you possibly can. But I think we need to face the fact it's impossible for us to be honest with ourselves. It's impossible for any human being, much less we alcoholics, to be completely honest with ourselves. We got layers and layers and layers of rationalization, justification, conning, and lying to overcome before we can ever be completely honest with ourselves. What we really need to do now is take a step forward. Take it to another human being. One who's walked this walk before us. One who understands steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, according to the big book Alcoholics Anonymous. They, in turn, can help us see those things within ourselves that we simply cannot see. They can look at it from an outside, honest perspective, which we cannot do. Now, they're probably not going to change anything in column 1. Probably not going to change anything in column 2. They'll probably change some things in column 3. In one case, I said this was caused by the sex instinct. He said, oh, no. You're just trying to build your self-esteem here. That's all you're doing with that. He helped me see those things I couldn't see. Probably not going to change anything in 4, but he'll probably change some things in column 5, he or she, whoever the case might be. In one case, I said this was caused by fear, and he said, no, it isn't. He said, this is plain damn dishonesty. That's all that is. He helped me see things I couldn't see about myself. That's really the purpose of step 5. Now, I know confession is good for the soul. I know if you belong to a religion that requires it, you probably ought to go do it. But I still think we ought to take step 4 to somebody else in AA who really understands this process and can help us see those things we can't see. Page 74. We're not going to go through that page because it talks about in 1939 how to find somebody to take step 4 with, or step 5 with. In 1935, there were no AA sponsors. In 1939, there were no AA sponsors out here in California. First person got the book. And when they did their 4 and started for a 5, they didn't know who to see to have them do the step 5. That's what this page is all about. But today we got plenty of good, responsible AA sponsors that understand this process. I think that's the best one to go to. Page 75, it tells us how to do step 5.
Page 75 says, when we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time in moving us right along here. We have a written inventory and are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we're about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. And I'll never forget when I called my sponsor, Franklin, asking if I could come over and do the 5th step, and he said, certainly. He was glad to have me over there, so I went over to his house, which was some ways away, and I sat down with Franklin, and then I asked him if we were ready to do the 5th step. He said, sure, and so he said, let's do the 3rd step together, and we did the 3rd step prayer together, asking God to be a part of this process. And now this is where these forms really do come in handy here at the 5th step area. Now we can discuss these with another human being from left to right, all the way across, one item at a time, one person at a time, all the way across. And they can help you see more about yourself that you couldn't see. They can help you change things that need to be changed or add to things that need to be added to, or to help you see things through long conversation. And we can talk about these things as long as we wish. We can tell all our life story in these areas, one at a time, one all the way to the bottom, gleaning all the information we can do out of that. It's a wonderful, wonderful process. And our book says that we pocket our pride, go and do it, illuminating every twist of character past, every dark cranny of the past. Once having taken this step with holding nothing, we are delighted. Here's some more promises, by the way. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone in perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. That feeling of the drink problem has disappeared, but often comes strongly. We feel we're walking on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. And I'll never forget when I left there, it was about an 8-hour drive back to my home. And I thought about the process that we've been doing up to this point and what had happened. And I reflected back when I was drinking and before, how I used to lay awake nights thinking about all these people and what I was going to do to them and how I was going to get even with them, all those resentments. I thought about my first wife who I came home after having been gone for 3 months. I was bad to drink and stay gone. And I come home and knew she'd be lonely and be glad to see me. I mean, wouldn't you be? Really? I mean, I knocked on the door and she kind of peeked out. Well, I just broke right in there. And there sat an old boy in my recliner watching my TV with my wife in my house. And, well, what are you going to do? I did. I jumped on that old boy. He liked to beat me to death on my own living room floor. And put me out and told me not to ever come back. And I'm making payments on all that. Boy, I used that for a long time. I carried that kind of information into my next marriage. But I used to lay awake nights thinking about all this. I mean, just running through my head over and over and over and over and over and go through and go through. I was finally able to sit down and talk to another human being about this in great detail, how I felt and what happened. And, of course, I could see it was my fault mostly. The things that I did, and he helped me see those things. But the best thing about it, I could see to the future now. I could see the steps coming up. I could see how I could make it all right one more time. And that's all I ever really wanted, was to get it right one more time, make it right, make amends, get things right. But I knew if I could get them right, then I'd have peace of mind and serenity. But before this process, I didn't know how. I just didn't know how or what to make amends for, really. But he helped me see those things that I couldn't see. Thank God for the fifth step. It's a great step. One of the best things I can possibly do for me is the fifth step.
If you've done step 4 and 5 the way the big book says to do it now, you've done a lot of work, and you probably need a little rest, and the book's going to give us a little rest stop. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour. He didn't say 72 days, did he? For an hour. Carefully viewing what we've done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. We don't know Him yet, but we know Him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, or first 5 steps, we ask if we've omitted anything. For we're building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? Once again, referring now to this wonderfully effective spiritual structure through which we're going to pass to freedom. Step 1, willingness, was the foundation. Step 2, believing, was the cornerstone. Step 3, he told us it was an arch, and step 3 was the keystone. And now we put some more stones in place. So we're building this thing as we go through the steps. You don't have to wait till you get to step 12. To get something out of this. Every action step carries a positive happening within that step itself. Absolutely amazes me. Okay, let's go over to page 76. Joe said do 6 and 7, and it won't take but just a little bit to do them, and then we'll break. On page 76, if we can answer our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can He now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. Now, you'll notice, and that's all of step 6, that little paragraph. And if you'll notice, He didn't even mention defects of character there. Step 6 said we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. What He did say is those things that which we have admitted are objectionable. Now, surely, when we took our inventory, and we looked out in that fifth column, and we saw that old selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate human being that we had become, when we could see that those type of defects in our character caused us to do the things that we did to hurt other people, and then caused them to retaliate and us to resent and etc., then surely those things have become objectionable to us. Now, are we ready to turn them loose? If we are, then we're through with step 6. But the book always recognizes that self cannot overcome self. There's prayer in all of these steps. It says if we're not willing, If we still cling to something we'll not let go, we ask God to help us be willing, recognizing that sometimes we're not quite ready to turn them loose. You know, you look at those things out there, and we human beings are funny things. And sometimes we'd rather sit in today's pain and suffering, because we've kind of learned how to take care of that. We'd rather sit in today's pain and suffering than take a chance on changing in the future, because we don't know what change is going to bring. You know, if I'm going to have to get rid of my selfishness, then how am I going to get what I want in the future? If I'm going to have to get rid of my dishonesty, well, how in the hell am I going to make a living? I don't know anything about honesty. If I'm going to have to get rid of my selfish, self-seeking, frightened character, then where am I going to get the nerve and the courage to do the things that I need to do, that I've always been afraid to do, and etc.?